Welcome back to another bonus episode of the Cabin Podcast, the official podcast of Discover Wisconsin. I'm Anna-Elise Beckman.
I'm Eric Paulson.
And I'm Jake Rome.
Today, we are going on a road trip to experience something truly great in our incredible home state of Wisconsin. The Great River Road, which Eric knows very well, and we'll get into that. We are welcoming the lovely Sherry Kwame into the cabin today. Sherry is the chairperson for the Mississippi River Parkway Commission, and she has a lot of great things to share about the scenic byway. We are so lucky to have her in our home state, so buckle up and phones down while we explore nature, history, and sights along the Great River Road. All right. So Sherry Kwame serves as the chairperson for the Mississippi River Parkway Commission, bringing her passion for economic development through tourism and natural area preservation to the forefront of her work. She's an advocate for outdoor recreation and is dedicated to initiatives that protect, preserve, promote, and enhance the Great River Road National Scenic Byway, now recognized as an all-American road. So with that, Sherry, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. And as we have all recently learned, I've known for a while, this is also known as the Happiness Highway. This is 250 miles in Wisconsin of absolutely delightful adventures that you probably need more than 2 days to experience. So buckle up. As you say, we're going to have a really fabulous trip. And we're going to talk about different areas. Where would you like to start?
I say we go from north to south. Just like you said, this is the Happiness Highway. Let's talk about how you get to the Great River Road first before we even get into it. And some of the different amenities along the Great River Road, including the bridges and this fantastic train system. So, Eric, I want you to take it away because we just finished filming an episode on the Great River Road, this all-American byway, and we mentioned it being the Happiness Highway. It was an awesome episode. I got to, you know, help the other producer, Jessica Vacoon, who did a great job on it. It has had amazing traction, so we're really excited about it. But Eric, just tell us a little bit about your first day on the Great River Road and how you got there.
His podcast is kind of following the episode here, the Discover Wisconsin episode on the Great River Road. And there's some other shorts, what we call shorts, that are going to be following. But yeah, that got released to broadcast TV, YouTube, and our Discover Wisconsin app for the weekend of May 18th and 19th. To some really nice acclaim. We had the premiere party in La Crosse. It was fantastic. And the feedback on the show has been really wonderful. So we went north to south and the Great River Road, the Wisconsin portion, and we'll go through the history of the Great River Road with Sherry shortly. But the Wisconsin portion starts in Prescott, where US 10 comes across the St. Croix River, actually. It's where the St. Croix and the Mississippi meet. And then primarily down Highway 35, a little bit down 133 and some county roads in Grant County, but primarily down Highway 35, we follow the Great River Road through a whole variety of towns and counties and just all along the river with the bluffs nestled to one side, the water to the other. I mean, we're going to go town by town here. I won't name them all right now, but we start in Prescott and we end the episode all the way down in Potosi, which is near Dubuque, Iowa. So we run the gamut. There's 33 river towns and 7 or 8 counties, and there's 7 bridges that cross over there. And we talk about all of them in 19 and a half minutes. I don't know how we fit it all in.
We do. And your first stop was at the Dahl Auto Museum with John Amphenson, where he talks all about the history of the Great River Road.
Yeah, I arrived by train in this episode. Amtrak now has 2 daily round trips between Chicago and the Twin Cities. And along the way, there's a bunch of Wisconsin stops, including La Crosse. Very fun to arrive there by train. He takes me around in a 66 Fairlane for a little tour of La Crosse before I head up to Prescott to begin the journey. And at the Dahl Auto Museum, the Dahl family has been a group of dealerships in the La Crosse area for a long time. And one of their older dealerships is now the museum. And it's right on the main road. It's right by the bridge to the Mississippi River on the south end of downtown La Crosse. And if you get a chance to stop in there, you will be treated to some amazing classic vehicles. Some of them date back to 1909. Some of them are the classic cars from the 50s and 60s, just the culmination of some of the most beautiful cars ever made. And then some that are more recent, and there's a great history behind all of them. And we talk with John there in that museum about the history of the Great River Road and how it all got started.
Yeah. And so, Sherry, I just want to bring you in here, too. What is the history of the Great River Road? How did this all begin?
Well, Annalise, back in 1937, the state of Missouri had some leaders that said, here we are, we need to do some things to boost our economy for our river towns. we've got this wonderful road in Missouri, but we also have fabulous roadways on both sides of the river. Why not get the states together? Let's see if, in fact, we could create a Great River Road that spans our 10 states. And in fact, at that time, it even went to the province of Ontario, Canada. They were included in this. What happened after that was that Congress then enacted legislation that approved this, and the state moved forward to create their commission in their legislature. Each had statutes passed. Then, as the Federal Highway Administration became stronger in this whole project, developed a federal National Scenic Byway program. So the state then decided that we need to have a designation called a National Scenic Byway, and it should be something that's available all around the United States. But for us, we applied all 10 states to become National Scenic Byways, provided the documents. In 2000, Wisconsin was officially designated as a National Scenic Byway, the only one at that time in Wisconsin. Now there are three. And in 2020, our Federal Highway Administration opened up applications again for All American Road, which is the highest award that you can achieve as a National Scenic Byway. It means, frankly, if you are an All American Road, and we are, that you are a destination unto yourself. You have so much you can do and see, so many activities that relate to all the qualities of the Great River Road that you achieve, and you are worthy of that designation, and we are.
Mm.
So that's from 1937 to 2024 and where we are today.
Wow. At the very beginning of this episode, I was kind of helping with the writing and doing some of the pre-production work, but Jess and Eric really went to the Great River Road. And I am so jealous of their experience. I have to get over there. My mom actually just went and she did the whole thing. She took about, 5 days or so to do the whole thing. She didn't do all of it. But, like you said, you could spend days on it. But she did quite a bit of the first portion and some of the central portion, and she just had a great time. So I have got to get over there. I cannot wait. But one thing I did want to point out is something from the episode. John Amphenson says, it's a quote that will just never leave me. And I think you've mentioned it too after the fact, Sherry, that the river must court the road and the road must court the river. And I just think that's such a powerful and beautiful line. And that really speaks to what this episode in the Great River Road is. It's so beautiful, and the nature that we're about to talk about is absolutely incredible. You can learn about the Great River Road at all these interpretive centers that are offered along the way. And I think there's an interpretive center in La Crosse. Is that correct? There's one in Prescott, I know.
There's several of them up and down. And just some of the ones we visited, we did start at Prescott, the Great River Road Interpretive Center, which is kind of an overall one. And they had examples of nature, both indoors and out. They had viewing areas because they're perched up high in a bluff above the river. And so you can see across to Minnesota and Hastings and up and down the river, eagles just back and forth. And that's one of the common threads when you're on the road, just eagles and the other birds. It's a migratory flyway of epic proportions for our flying friends. So
yeah,
similar for us. And kind of to that, we visited another interpretive center, which was just north of La Crosse in Onalaska.
Okay.
And that one focused a lot on the migratory birds. And the woman who showed me around and we interviewed, she was talking about how similar to we have rest stops on interstate travel, for example, right? Where you can stretch your legs and relax, get some food, get some beverages.
Right.
That's what a lot of the backwater areas along the Mississippi are for these birds.
Mm.
And this interpretive center is in one of those areas. You could see them taking the rest stops.
All going to be featured in the episode. It is called the Wisconsin Great River Road and All American Road. And you can find it on discoverwisconsin.com and our Discover Wisconsin YouTube channel. Definitely check it out. It's incredible. But I say, let's hit the road. You guys separated into the north, the central, and then the south. That's correct, Sherry?
Yeah, that's how we approach the program. And it's also the way we talk about the Great River Road so that we can convey to the traveler what might be the most logical approach to planning your itinerary and creating your excitement. We call it experience our all-American road, our all-American adventure. And that's what we want people to do.
I get so excited because there's all these little towns that are super quaint and there's just so much beauty to explore. So Let's start in Prescott. Prescott has a Freedom Park and this historic Prescott Bridge. So you went to Freedom Park, Eric, right?
Yes, I went to Freedom Park. That's where the Interpretive Center was, actually. And there are a lot of beautiful plants and flowers around there, too. Beautiful any time of the year. And so Laura showed me around and then, you know, offered me maps. And I'm a huge map geek, you know, that I love maps and following the roads. And so, yeah, we did start there. Now, that's just south of downtown Prescott. There's a lot of fun to be had in Prescott itself. It's a very popular area with boaters because it's the junction of the Mississippi and St. Croix Rivers. So there's a lot of Muddy Waters Bar and Grill is like four stories in the back. Yeah, see, it's a fun place, right, Jerry? And great food, great beverages.
It's historic.
Yes, it is. And that whole block, ton of great historic buildings. And they've done a great job refurbishing those.
Sure.
And you get a great view because there's rail lines also that go up and down the Mississippi. And where the one on our side crosses over the St. Croix River on this big old bridge that, you know, obviously is designed to carry very heavy trains.
Yeah.
So that's a sight to see, you know, from Muddy Waters. And yeah, when you start making your way south on Highway 35 from Prescott, you can stop in Freedom Park and check out the Interpretive Center. And then you start making your way down through just a ton of beautiful natural landscapes and you get your first taste of the Driftless there.
Mm.
And then you hit like Hager City.
And there's some Native American effigy mounds. Before we move on to Hager City, Sherry, how would you describe the downtown Prescott area?
Well, first of all, as you come in, it's just breathtaking. And you have this feeling of a step back in time, but you're there to have a wonderful moment in today's world. And the nightlife is as fun as the daytime life. The music, the historic building, the feel of being there and being at home, so to speak. You're always welcome there. And like you are anywhere in the 33 communities of the Great River Road, you just get that feeling because it's part of the culture. There's a feeling of inspiration. There's a feeling of where do I go next? Where do I just stop in and get a little memorabilia that is speaking to me later about being in this special place? The other shops, the other eateries, just all very attractive and inviting. They have taken buildings. And Megan Langer is a wonderful spokesperson and businesswoman who has created the Port of Prescott. Used to be a drugstore, I believe, and is now a boutique hotel. And kitty corner across from that, she's taken another building and repurposed it into a wedding venue, a meeting room, a gathering room, and also a boutique hotel. They've also created a new hotel and lodging up on the block. There are walking trails, biking trails, and an emerging, developing, more extensive system. Plus, at the Great River Interpretive Center at Freedom Park, you will also get treated to the pollinator garden. This is our northern example of an absolutely fabulous garden area, outdoor, as you said, Eric, walking paths that take you on a route that shows you pollinator gardens. So, the bees are very friendly. They know that you're not going to hurt them and they won't hurt you. And they're there to do their business and you will just love looking at nature and all the other species that you will find that welcome you to the area. It's just marvelous.
That makes me want to go so much more. That's so great.
That's what I wanted to do.
I know. You're too good. Like you said, Eric, you go further south a little bit. You hit Hager City. There's these incredible Native American effigy mounds. And
Diamond
then,
Bluff is a great natural landmark right there. Yeah. I mean, they start right away with all of the cool things to see. Hager City is also where US 63 comes in from Red Wing, Minnesota. It's one of the next bridge. And if you're hungry for a bite, and we were filming actually in the winter, they weren't open for the season yet, but the Hager Heights Drive-In, great little stop if you want a burger and a shake. There's great little things everywhere you go, including right there. And then you can continue south.
Yeah, to Maiden Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about Maiden Rock because there is an amazing viewpoint at Maiden Rock.
In the show, we went to the top of it and took a nice little gaze.
And I'm assuming you've been there, Sherry, correct?
Maiden Rock Bluff. And it was in the episode, an Eric Paulson moment, where you walk out onto the bluff at near sunset and he puts his hands up to the sky, invites you in to share the moment, be at peace, and kind of lay all of your burdens to rest and just love where you are. That to me was an absolutely astounding and meaningful introduction to what's coming next. Being on the Wisconsin Great River Road is such a treat. Around every bend, there is a new adventure. I thought that was wonderful. You see the panorama of the Mississippi River Valley and the rivers that converge. Maiden Rock Bluff is just a wonderful, inspirational piece of landscape. You are in the Driftwood.
One of the high points, too, on those bluffs, too, along with Granddad, which we'll talk about when we hit La Crosse. But yeah, it's a phenomenal spot, and there's a great pull-off below it and great trails above it, so you can really hit the entire thing.
I will say the drone footage in this episode is phenomenal, too. But yeah, then we go to Stockholm, where the sweet treats are real here. I mean, when you see these pies in the episode, it is hard to not reach through your screen and try to grab some of it. You've both been to Stockholm Pie, correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many times.
Yeah. I am jealous. I've got to get over there yet. My mom stopped at Stockholm Pies and she absolutely loved it. Oh. So you guys saw Alan Nugent, correct?
Yes.
He is a character.
Oh, sure. Oh yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
What Not a fun, camera shy guy. I loved it.
What a fun part of the episode to watch. Mm-hmm. So, Sherry, can you describe Stockholm Pie to somebody who's never been there?
Well, first of all, one has to realize that the village of Stockholm is, what, only 62 people? And it has some tremendous assets. Stockholm Pie is just an anchor place. It's a little piece of Sweden. It's a wonderful place to have really homemade pie. And he's absolutely right that, you know, that recipe for the crust can't be duplicated by anybody. It is just out of this world. My favorite pie is Bumbleberry. We have hosted national conferences. I have served it at those conferences. I've served Bumbleberry pie. We've had people from Louisiana and Arkansas and Mississippi Googling, trying to see what a Bumbleberry looks like. There is no such thing. And it's just been fun. When you go into Stockholm Pie, it is a homemade environment. Mm-hmm. And he has a general store that's also all Wisconsin products. Games, as he says, there's nothing that needs a battery. So if you're buying something for your kids, this is a good place to shop. You can sit out on the porch. You can sit out on the patio. You can be inside, outside. It's not just pie that they sell and ice cream, and they have the most fabulous ice cream. It is also sandwiches made to order right there, salad, just good home-cooked food. And it's just your red and white tablecloths, and your window treatments that just make you feel like you're in grandma's kitchen. And believe me, that's exactly how you're going to feel the whole time you're there. And they don't care if you get in the wrong line to order your pie and ice cream, they'll still serve you.
Wow. Does that speak to Stockholm as a whole?
Stockholm is a wonderful, friendly place. And remember that I want to just give a plug to the Stockholm Art Fair that they have in their park every summer in June. And It's worth the drive. I live south of La Crosse, and for me to get to Stockholm for pizza pie, it's 2.5 hours, but I'll go. And it's also where you go for some really, really good art and beautiful views of Lake Pepin. I shop at Hugga Bugga, which is another darling little shop across the street from Stockholm Pie. And there's Indigo Swan, and there are other shops that are just well worth the trip, and artists all over.
Well, and then moving further south, Pepin, you've got Villa Belitza Winery.
Mm-hmm. Which, God, I was impressed by that place.
Yeah, watching that was very, very fun. And like you said, Lake Pepin, there's a public park there. There's camping. We've got the Pickle Factory in Pepin, the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum, which is very popular.
And not only the views of Lake Pepin gorgeous, that's where water skiing was invented.
Was it really?
Displayed. 1921, I think, something like that. Yeah.
What was your experience, Eric, at Villa Belitza?
I went to an Italian villa, basically. The way it's designed and laid out is so impressive. When I talked with Katie, and her story is fascinating, too. She just started working there as an employee, I think when she was 18, and it's 10, 12 years later, and she's now the head winemaker.
Jeez.
Went to Italy for a while and learned, and she's so knowledgeable on all the wines, and we went back into some of the, you know, where the aging tanks are, and she explained so many of the different elements of it. And to see that place and then, Il Forno, the restaurant next door, fantastic food and drink. Again, we were there in the wintertime.
That's right.
The vines were empty, but we lucked out with the weather.
Yeah, it was really warm that day, wasn't it?
Hard to tell that it's winter on any of this shoot. That's a place to go for a weekend.
And Sherry, how would you describe Pepin as a whole?
Charming, absolutely out of this world charming. When you drive in, you just know that you're going to walk through a door of any of the restaurants, the eateries, or the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum, meet the volunteers who will just greet you like you've been there every day and they know you. And Laura Ingalls Wilder spans so many generations. Did you know that the Japanese teach their children English by reading Laura Ingalls Wilder?
That I did not know.
This is another little niche population that wants to be in Pepin and visit the museum just to know more about what the lifestyle really was in those times,
More
from just reading and imagining from a book. So interesting. Down at the waterfront, the pickle factory, so fun. I mean, it's just a great place to not just grab a burger, but, you know, to have yourself your adult beverage and get out on the deck any time of year and just enjoy the scene. It's also a place where they have coffee shops, bakery. They have the Harborview Cafe, where we've enjoyed that tremendously. As you drive through, it is small town charm at its finest. And you want to get out, walk around, and just get the feel of what it's like to be there and come back again.
Yeah. Is Nelson another small town?
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Once you leave Pepin. Once you leave Pepin, you're on 35 and you cross where the Chippewa River merges into the Mississippi. It's an area called Tiffany Bottom State Natural Area.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So you're going over all this wetland and then you join Highway 25 and you curve right into Nelson. And yeah, the Nelson Creamery, Nelson Cheese Factory, people call it different things, but it's an amazing building with great stuff in
there. Mm. Sherry, how would you describe Nelson?
Well, William Greenhack is now kind of the manager of the Nelson Creamery for his family. This is a place where you can get ice cream, you can get wine, you can get cheeses from all over. It's an experience. It's just a wonderful building that's vine covered and inside, outside. You feel good. Of course, there's a bridge that brings people over east and west right there practically by their front door. So there's some traffic. Wonderful barbecue place. Some people say it's the best on the Great River Road. I had a lot of good barbecue.
That's J&J,
I would say must-visit place.
Barbecue can be hard to come by. Good barbecue.
Good barbecue.
Yeah, and then for another quaint place, we've got Alma, and there's the Wings Over Alma Art Center there and Castle Rock Museum. We've got the Buena Vista Overlook. And then when we were chatting last, I don't think we highlighted this in the episode, but Alma Bakery was one that you had mentioned. I know it's only open half the time, but how would you describe that?
I have driven up there just for some of their very special whole grain, carrot, and other additives, vegetables to their bread to make sure that that's available. One of the things I should tell you about Alma, Wings Over Alma is a wonderful organization and place to inform you about the birds that are in season, that will be migrating, have been migrating. Swans are also somewhat endangered in our area, and they migrate to Wright Lake. It has silted in through floods that we've had over these last recent years, but there are still some open pond areas and a good place to see swans in the spring as they are headed north and in the fall as they're headed south or out on the Mississippi River. And I just want to give a plug. And then, of course, you want to go to the Castle Rock Museum and you want to stop at the art galleries in Alma. But you mentioned Buena Vista. You take County E up to the top, which is a park, wonderful area, and then walk, which is about, you know, maybe an eighth of a mile out to the point. It's an iconic place to have your photo taken, to look, bring your binoculars. You will see pelicans in the fall flying in formation below you. You are 500 feet above the river at that point. We had a guest who was on a trip to see the North Great River Road and took her in March, and it was kind of chilly. She walked out to that point with my husband to have her photo taken and just really take in that wonderful, breathtaking sight. This is the Driftless. This is the Great River Road. Just a place to be and remember.
This one stuck in my head, and it's in Fountain City at Kinstone.
Cats and rocks everywhere. Very friendly. And they'd come right up to you, then hang out, and then they go do their own thing. They climb up on these rock formations because part of it looks like Stonehenge. Part of it looks like a castle built with rocks. And they don't mortar any of this stuff. They're all just precariously perched. And some of them are aligned with the sunset beautifully. I mean, it was wonderful, but you're also terrified to touch something because if I hit one loose rock and something tumbled over, that would be footage I wouldn't want shared. It was so beautiful. And that's up the hills just a little bit from Fountain City. Yeah.
And of course, you're going to have to stop to get some good food. Fountain City has some really great historic restaurants.
The Monarch Public is absolutely a must. And Eric, you did stop there.
Yeah, I've been there quite a few times over the years on my travels on the Great River Road. The Monarch Tavern and Public House, and then Fountain City Brewing Company is also located in there. And they're a historic brewery forever, and they brought back their original recipes, which they do brew and serve there. And it's wonderful because, and you can go, the main street is a block in from the Great River Road, and they're at different heights. So you can walk in the main entrance off Main Street, go downstairs, and then you can go out the backside to the Great River Road. And there's multiple rooms, a couple of patios, the decorations in there and the designs. You could get lost in there for hours happily. And the food is fantastic. And there's also a winery there, Seven Hawks Vineyard.
It's really got it all. And it also has the Golden Frog restaurant.
I love that place. You walk in and be sure you have your eyes on the floor because you'll see the frog prints, the footprints all over. And the restrooms are to the back. There's an arrow to the right and to the left. And the sign says, women on the right because they're always right. And of course, my husband just laughed. They have great food. Wonderful place. It is a classic old time bar.
Yeah. And then Fountain City's also got some great sightseeing at Merrick State Park and Herman Rush's Prairie Moon Sculpture Garden. There's a museum there. And so definitely more things to see in Fountain City. But how big is Fountain City?
Probably population 300.
Okay.
If that.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a small community.
It's very narrow. Like a lot of those communities, they might be like a mile long and four blocks wide.
It's one of the communities where you do have blocks that you can drive around.
Okay.
By the way, at Alma, there's a lock and dam. And then just south of Fountain City, there's another lock and dam.
Sure.
Can't forget. You see those on the regular. And shortly after that is the bridge to Winona, Minnesota. And that covers the northern section as we have it laid out here.
Yeah. So then we enter the central portion. And the first place to go is Trempealeau. El Morro Vineyard in there, which we went to in the episode, and Perot State Park, Sullivan's Supper Club. So, Sherry, where is the first place somebody should go when they hit Trempealeau?
If you are starting out earlier in the morning, have yourself a hearty breakfast and a motor on out to Perot State Park. Perot State Park, to me, is almost a spiritual place. Trempealeau Mountain is part of that state park. It's a spiritual place. It is not an effigy mound, but it is a spiritual place for our Native American culture. There are hiking trails, campsites. It's a wonderful place. Of course, downtown Trempealeau, you have the Trempealeau Hotel. It is the home of the Walnut Burger, the fishing float. There's a lock and dam. Anybody that has not seen barges going north or going south on the river, it's an opportunity to do that because it's a real process and it takes a while. As you looked at their historic downtown, and they have a small park right on the water's edge where you can see the boat.
Yeah, I have to second the Perot State Park trails. We spent an afternoon on there, not in the show, but just in general, and it's fantastic. And you need to burn those calories to go to Sullivan's Supper Club and enjoy the decadent meals you can have there, and they make great grasshoppers. El Morro Vineyard is one of those places. I'll take a picture looking toward the bluffs from the main tasting room overlooking the vines. And if you show that like to Jake and say, Jake, is this Napa or is it Wisconsin? He's like, well, duh, that's Napa. Look at it. No, it looks like California.
That's
it's
crazy.
So beautiful. Mm-hmm. And in the show, we filmed that on February 1st.
Wow.
It almost looks like a summer day out there. So we lucked out there. And we got a great story about how the whole vineyard was started and everything. That was a fantastic stop.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you say, you know, you went to this vineyard in the winter, and Sherry, you talk about ice fishing, and the Great River Road really is a place for all seasons. So I know that we have kind of traversed this in the winter and a little bit in the spring and the summer, but it is a place to go see all year round. And then we travel further down to Holman.
Yeah, we filmed that. That's not in the main episode that we released in May, but it will be in one of the shorts that we have coming out. McGillivray Seven Bridges Road it's kind of in this marshy little area where the Black River starts crossing in towards La Crosse. It was a popular area for people to land canoes and everything, but it was a marshy area. And they originally had some old wooden bridges to try to traverse those. And nature's like, no, we're taking those out right now. So they built these new cable-tied steel arch bridges that they're older and rustier now, but they're so charming and cool. They were built between 1905 and 1908. And you can walk this trail that will take you across each of those bridges. There's seven of them. One of them was moved there from another location, but they have a whole set of tablets with the history on there. And so that was just a Scottish settler with the last name of McGillivray. He operated a ferry there, and then they built the bridges, and he had a tavern down there.
Yeah, Docker. Of course. Shocking. I'm glad that you got to trek out there. Can't wait for that to come out. And then a little bit further south is the Bryce Prairie Center in Onalaska. And then we hit La Crosse, exactly where we started the episode.
We started in La Crosse because we arrived by train. And La Crosse, I consider, and this is my own personal opinion, I consider it the fulcrum of the Great River Road, because you're either north of La Crosse or you're south of La Crosse. And La Crosse, the largest city on the west coast of Wisconsin, right? There's over 55,000 people there. It's a wonderful town. Every time I go there, I'm like, I could live here. The Great River Road, you get the urban center feel. There's the riverboat that goes on there, the La Crosse Queen. There's two bridges. There's the Interstate Bridge, and then there's actually two bridges on the old original. And that was the original bridge for years. And then you get the vibe of the campus. You get Myrick Park, which we filmed at more recently. And it's all the vibe of downtown La Crosse, which is so fun to go out in.
I've been to La Crosse a couple times. I have to do a shameless plug for the Crow Restaurant. They have the best cheese curds I have ever had in my life. It was like cream cheese or something in their cheese curds. And they're these little square brick-like curds. Oh my gosh. Way too good. But yeah, La Crosse is an awesome area.
Well, yeah, we talked about the Dahl Auto Museum already, but framing La Crosse to the east end, if you go down Main Street east from downtown, you end up on this road called Bliss Road that will curl you up to the top of Granddad Bluff, which is the big natural landmark. It's actually really easy to drive to, and a lot of people bike to it. That's a heck of a climb.
And Sherry, you had mentioned the Meringue. Is that how you say it? Meringue Bakery?
Meringue Bakery in downtown La Crosse. A local woman who is award recipient bakery competition. She is just marvelous. Jen Barney. She has an absolutely fabulous place to stop and have homemade bakery, cup of coffee, and you're right in the heart of downtown La Crosse.
You just got to know where the bakeries are when you're on a road trip.
Absolutely. And you have to remember, in addition, there's a music scene. There is a nightlife in downtown La Crosse. It goes beyond 3rd Street. Definitely there's a vibe there. And in the summer, down at Riverview Park, they have music every week at their new shelter Thursday nights with food trucks. And it's just an amazing night, toe-tapping, good times.
Toe-tapping.
Toe-tapping, good times. And as you're sitting there listening to the music, you see the paddle wheel, the biking cruises, the American Queen, barges go by. You're right on the riverfront within walking distance of wonderful restaurants, hotels, downtown. You know, it's an exciting and just wonderful, warm place to be.
Mm. Tons of great hotels, restaurants, bars. I mean, it's a college town, too.
Oh, yeah. And then further south, a little bit further south, is Stoddard. And Stoddard is where you can see the old settlers overlook. Did you go there, Eric?
Yeah, we just filmed that for one of the shorts. Again, the bluffs, you know, they're low or they're high. And where they're high, where possible, they build these little lanes where you can crawl your way up there and see the beautiful views from above. And then sometimes right along the road at river level, you get a little turnoff area where you're right at the water and you can see everything from, you know, sometimes there's bogs, sometimes there's fishing areas, sometimes there's a wildlife stop where you can do a lot of birding and things like that. So, and it's Stoddard's kind of a cool little town. There's actually a supper club there called Rockies that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Sherry, don't they claim to be the first place that deep fried cheese curds?
That's absolutely true. And they're in Ron Fayola's 100 Best Supper Club in Wisconsin.
And then kind of carrying further south is, I always say this wrong, is it Genoa or Genoa?
Genoa. And there we've talked about the flyways, right?
Okay, yep.
Now we're going in the water. We can talk about fish.
Yes, please do.
Because the Genoa, there's an interpreter center at the Genoa National Fish Hatchery.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great talk with Erica in the episode there about all of the different species of fish that they track, that they protect, you know, with their eggs, and they hatch them and they grow them there, and then they help stock the river. And the sheer numbers that she shared with me on how many thousands or in some cases millions of eggs and fish that they track and how they maintain all of that is it was stunning. And there's a beautiful museum inside that you can check out. You can walk across. There's a lot of outdoor ponds where they stock the fish and maintain them and everything like that. It's a pretty fascinating place to visit.
I bet. And probably really interesting for the kids too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they can touch some of the fish and a turtle and all that. Some of the fish are sharp, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Sturgeon.
Yeah.
The sturgeon inside the interpretive center itself can pick up young sturgeon. And I saw you do that, Eric.
Yeah.
Did you get cut?
No.
Oh, geez.
But I felt like if my skin was thinner, it might have been.
Jeez. Wow. And then if you take it inland a little bit, how do you describe Viroqua to people who have not been there?
Viroqua is a just unique, I don't know what else other word to use, a unique place that has its seat in Norwegian Scandinavian heritage. If you've ever been to Norway, you understand how people around the area know how to farm. Because in Norway, you have to know how to farm on a side hill and be successful. In Viroqua, there is a feeling of the culture, the importance of the culture, the importance of using our homegrown products, making sure our resources are protected, and that we truly respect conservation. When you look around the community, you understand that people here really get it. The Driftless Cafe is where we have enjoyed many a meal sourced locally, would be unusual ingredients, but things that you're going to find in somebody's garden or back that plot. And it's also the roastery for Wonder State Coffee. They have a marvelous coffee shop there. I was just there this morning to get my Driftless brew and be on my merry way. Clothing store, shop. They have a cooperative artist that you will, like no other place I've ever seen, really. Viva Gallery and ice cream shop. Those are just a few things. And then as you go beyond about 8 miles to the north, Westby, another Norwegian community, and they have a wonderful restaurant, Khan. Norwegian in heritage, but nevertheless, the food, again, locally sourced, wonderful.
Westby has an amazing Setten de Mai festival.
Oh, do they?
One of the best ones in the state to celebrate Norwegian independence. It just happened the weekend of May 17th. But it's fun. And the Snowflake Ski Jump Tournament is there.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
They have a huge ski jump outside there. You can see it from Highway 27, but if you follow the little roads down, you can get right under it. It's pretty cool.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So now if we go back west and we get back on the Great River Road, we'll hit, and you go a little south, DeSoto.
Yeah, from Viroqua, you can follow 82, and that'll take you right to DeSoto and back to the Great River Road.
And this has got an awesome restaurant, the Great River Roadhouse. What a good name. What a good name. So what is the type of food that they've got at the Roadhouse? I could take a guess, but...
Well, first of all, you have your variety of sandwiches, but they also are marvelous in terms of their pasta. And their pizza is huge. Don't order extra large. A large is huge. And if you've got six people, you're still going to take them home. It's really their own recipes. And you sit in their windows or out on their deck. And of course, what you're looking at is the Mississippi River. And you're just above the road. People are coming and going all the time. And it's a very popular place.
Josh Osterman would ask, is it thin crust? And he would also ask, are the toppings under the cheese or on top of the cheese?
You tell them what you like.
Wow.
But it's thin crust.
Ooh.
All my kind.
They got my heart. Yep. Gotta get over there.
I believe named after what? Hernando de Soto, the explorer?
Yeah.
Or maybe the de Soto automobile.
And the other thing they offer is a variety of local beers, adult beverages that are really fun. And they also have a wonderful park south of town. They have a fishing pond, handicap accessible. They're very proud of that. And if you stand on that deck and you turn around and look, you will see a beaver lodge, a working beaver lodge right behind you.
Oh my
you.
Gosh.
Talking about fishing, I wanted to mention back in Genoa, there's a great fishery there and a shop that we went to.
Clements Fishing Barns, and you went to Captain Hook.
Captain Hook's, yes.
Oh,
that's
fun.
The name of it. And back to DeSoto, just south of there, is one of the other bridges over to Lansing, Iowa. And they're actually going to build a new version of that bridge pretty soon. The old one was
fascinating.
It's fascinating. The old bridge, the design. And Lansing's a beautiful town across the river, but you can make that connection. And that's where we have the central portion in our podcast of the river complete.
Yep. And so then we go down a little further south. We hit Ferryville and we've entered the southern portion. And Ferryville has a lot of different hiking trails and the Sugar Creek Bluff.
First of all, as you're coming into town, I mentioned earlier, you know, one Fountain City has got actual village blocks that you can drive around. You can't do that in Ferryville.
Mm.
The main street is Highway 35. And on that street is the Governor Lucy historical marker. He was born and raised here in Ferryville. He was our governor, and he was also ambassador to Mexico for the United States. There is an overlook there that is a widest area on the river in Wisconsin, 3 miles across, and you're looking at Iowa. Then you go down past Sugar Creek Park to Buck Creek Road, and that will take you to the bluff, which is Sugar Creek Bluff. 2 miles of hiking trails up there and then down partway so that you can enjoy the panoramic view again of what the southern part of the Mississippi River looks like, looking north to Minnesota, looking across and south to Iowa.
Yeah, that lower part too on 35, there's a couple of little turnouts where you can stop and get that view. And it's like a lake instead of a river at that point. It's very continuous. A lot of the Mississippi has little you know, inlets and outlets and backwater areas. This is just a big wide section of the river, and there's a big bend in it.
Huh.
So you can look a long way and see it. And, you know, the way we were filming the other day, and it was a beautiful summer day, summery day. It was in May, but it felt like summer. And the water just shimmering off of the Mississippi like that. And it felt like I was looking out over a lake. Just stunning. I've always gone through on Ferryville. I got to stop and check one or two of those bars and restaurants out, because there's a couple fun looking places there, Sherry.
They'd love to have you.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we haven't talked about is how easy it is to canoe and kayak in this area. It's really quite an experience. And when you canoe and kayak the backwaters of the Mississippi, you're going to be up close and personal with even more eagleness. You'll see peregrine falcons, you'll see pelicans, and they're going to look at you very curiously, but they'll leave you alone.
That's great. And then we go further south to Prairie du Chien, which we have talked about on the podcast a lot. We've highlighted it in Discover Wisconsin, but I think having seen it in the Great River Road just gave me a very new appreciation for Prairie du Chien. And so, Eric, what was your experience there this time around?
Yes, French for dog prairie. Prairie du Chien is where... Prairie du Chien is just above where the Wisconsin River meets the Mississippi. And we'll talk about the advantage of the north and south portion of that here. But it's the second oldest city in Wisconsin.
Mm.
Its history dates back to the 1600s. It's the only place where there was an actual battle in the War of 1812. Boy, probably 6 years ago, I was in a Discover Wisconsin episode where we were part of the recreation of that.
Cool.
And I can tell you, cannons are loud. I was a redcoat, and those British outfits are warm. They didn't breathe much, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I believe that.
But that's also on St. Ferriol Island, which is where the original downtown was. But that area floods a lot, so they moved most of it up the hill a little. But still there is the Villa Louis historic site, which I got to tour. And I'd been on the grounds, but I'd never gone in. It was a new school house at the time. There was an Italian Renaissance style that was popular.
Yeah.
And so I got to see the architectural design of that. We went through some of the original and period furnishings in there. And we went in the old kitchen where a woman in there, I think her name was Mary, was cooking up soups and cookies for the shoot. And all of that looked good. I had a molasses cookie and a little slice of pie and everything.
Where were you?
This was at Villa Louis.
Oh, man.
And they'll do dinners there and things like that. You can book it as an event. And there's a lot of events in Prairie du Chien that take place on St. Ferriol Island that kind of surrounds that area of Villa Louis and the old Fort Crawford.
Yeah, Fort Crawford is there. And then downtown is just, it's a historic downtown. So there's a lot of history in Prairie du Chien. And Sherry, you obviously don't live far from Prairie du Chien. Do you get over there a lot?
We do. We travel down for a variety of reasons. Also, there's a Muddy Water pizza.
I saw that. Yes.
And that is made from scratch, a thin crust, wonderful ingredients, but you know, a lot to choose from. There's the Fort Mulligan, the old Fort Crawford Hotel, the Black Hawk for adult cocktails across the street, waterfront hotel and bar and restaurant right on the waterfront between the bridges going east and west, and by the Welcome Center in Prairie du Chien. Wonderful place. There's fun land. There's camping. We haven't mentioned it yet, but when you look out on the Mississippi River, you'll see that there are islands, and you can camp for free on the island.
I should give a shout out to a legendary place. We didn't get to film there because, again, it wasn't in season, but Pete's Hamburgers is a legendary historic burger stand that started in 1909.
Oh, my gosh.
And the burgers are essentially poached.
Oh, you've talked about this.
Yeah, he was doing them like at a fair or something, and the burger was getting dry in the heat, so he'd pour water on the grill, the flat top, to keep them moist. And nowadays, they do that. It's water and onions, and the burgers are cooked in the water and onions. So, you know, onions work great on a burger, and so the flavor just penetrates everywhere. Mm. They don't even serve cheese on those burgers, because that would get messy.
Well, they're open now, Eric.
Yes, they are.
And the lines are up the street.
I don't doubt it.
Wow.
And the thing is, they have to portion it. I think you can fit 72 burgers on their grill, but you got to do them all at once. They'll sell all those burgers after 15 minutes, but then they got to start all over again. So people get their burgers in tranches. And right across is Stark's, which you see the sign, Robert Moses from the Prairie du Chien Visitor Bureau. Right. He and I walk right past that. Stark's, it's a classic old school sign. There's different individual letters on there. That's like a boat, a supply place, and a liquor store.
Huh.
And it's right across from Pete's.
Yep.
So everybody
digs Stark's. It's very cool. But yeah, there's a couple of great shops that sell a variety of things. I bought a bunch of ground ginger and oregano and spices at this one store.
Oh my gosh,
the prices were amazing.
Yeah.
And so we had so much fun shopping there. And downtown Prairie du Chien over the last few years, there's been a lot of new vibrancy to it. Mm. And then on the south end, you mentioned Sherry the Blackhawk. The owners of that place also own a supper club I will put in the top 10, if not the top 5 across the state, and that's Jones Black Angus. Just a heavenly place. Their homemade cheese spread for the crackers, amazing. Great grasshoppers. I had lobster stuffed ravioli along with a filet, and their selection of bourbon, hundreds and hundreds.
Wow.
If you want a supper club experience in that southern portion of the Great River Road, that's a place.
And then Sherry, I know that in Prairie du Chien, you mentioned Ma's Bakery, well, right outside of Prairie du Chien. So that's in Bloomington. And then the Coffee Tree, which is in Lancaster.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty close by. Yeah. Got to point out the bakeries and the coffee houses.
Mm-hmm. Those are absolutely delightful places to go. And I also like to just tool along on down 35 to Capville. And the Capville Ferry is running. That's an experience that is just relaxing and enjoyable. Capville is another place that has a community that's really reborn, done a lot with their park along the waterfront. And, of course, it's Governor Nelson Dewey's home. Stonefield Historic Site is there. And then that's your pathway on down to Potosi.
We filmed at Stonefield, and I had never been in and around there, but there's like a 19th century village in there that's really, really cool with original buildings.
Yes.
And the Wisconsin Agriculture Museum is there. They're the Cyrus McCormick home for all of their farm implements and everything. If you've ever heard of the McCormick Center in Chicago, one of the world's largest convention centers, that's named after Cyrus McCormick, who is legendary in the farm implement world. And that collection is in that little museum that's right there on Stonefield. And the house at Governor Dewey State Park is a wonderful tour. And that's just above Cassville. And that's an area where the Great River Road shoots over on county highways for a brief spell. That's all south of Wyalusing State Park, which we've talked about extensively on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But it's without a doubt one of the most beautiful state parks in Wisconsin. And then we went down 133, which is the Great River Road is Highway 133 at this point, to Potosi.
Yeah, and what's Potosi like?
Cool little burg, about 700 people. The neighboring town is Tennyson. They like to be combined for the purposes of marketing, if you will.
Sure.
So I jokingly call it the Potosi-Tennyson Combined Metropolitan Area. Although the
That's
whole area is about 1,300 people. First of all, they joke about the world's longest main street without an intersection.
Oh.
On a piece of Highway 133, because you go for a long way winding down into town. But Potosi Brewing Company is kind of the crown jewel of the town. And it dates back to the 1870s. There was a sizable beer in southwestern Wisconsin, Dubuque, and that part of the Midwest. They closed in, I believe, was it, 1972, I think. Uh-huh. And then
right.
The original brewery, and it's between 133 and a bluff. I mean, it's just right in between those two things. And the building fell into disrepair, but they had an amazing resurrection of the town starting in 2008, and they started raising money and they landed the American Breweriana Association's National Brewing Museum.
Huh.
They beat out Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Milwaukee for this distinction. And around that, rehabbed and rebuilt the Potosi Brewing Company. The classic original caves are there you can tour. They have a great restaurant, the good old Potosi beer and the cave ale and all the other brews that they make. They have a great shandy and you can have that in the bar. They have a huge events area across the street. Mm-hmm. There's a little winery, I think it's called Whispering Hills, across mm-hmm. the street.
They have a root beer.
Oh, yes. Potosi root beer is legendary. Yep. Princess Potosi.
Really? Ooh, my mom would love that.
So that's a must stop. And one of the best stops on that southern Great River Road section. And then you go further south to like Dickeyville, where they have a great grotto. We're about to film there. And then from there you go south, you end up going into Dubuque, Iowa. But they have those distinct areas. Mm-hmm. You can do it all in one fell swoop, but it's worth individual trips too to just experience the different sections.
Well, I think this is the most we've ever covered in a podcast. There's still more that we could have covered. So it's very, very exciting. I am stoked to get out to the Great River Road at some point, hopefully sooner than later. I'm really, really glad that we got to highlight it on Discover Wisconsin. There are more shorts coming out. We've got the history one that's not out yet, correct?
Nope.
It's being worked on. It's in edit and we're finishing it up. So that's coming out with John Amphenson, all about the history of the Great River Road. Discover Wisconsin YouTube channel or on discoverwisconsin.com. And then, Sherry, where can we find out more about the Great River Road?
Well, you can find it on wisconsingreatriverroad.com.
And the Great River Road is WIGRR.com. Is that the same? Will it take you to the same place?
That's right.
Perfect. They've also got the Facebook page, facebook.com/WI Great River Road. Instagram.com/WI Great River. And then Twitter is x.com/WI Great River as well.
And we'll have all those links in the show notes.
Yes, we will.
Yep. You can also ask for your own individual copy of our annual travel guide.
Very cool travel guides.
That is comprehensive too, even more than this episode we just did, because you get pictures with it.
You guys do a great job. The website is awesome. Be sure to check it out. But Sherry, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We are excited for the rest of the shorts to come out. And to all the listeners, again, get out there and watch. Well, get out there to the Great River Road. But also, if you can't get out there soon, just watch the episode. You will not regret it. It is beautifully done.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Thanks, Sherry.
Today's bonus episode of The Cabin was sponsored by Friends of the Great River Road. We extend a special thanks to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. This episode was hosted by Eric Paulson, Jake Grome, and myself, Annalise Beckman, with special guest Sherry Kwame. Audio engineering and video teasers by Jake Grome and Nick Cardarella, with social media by Adeline Savanak. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com. And don't forget to leave a review.